3 weeks ago on Sunday night, I started a sermon called This One Thing I Do. I want us to turn to Philippians chapter 3 once again. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 from the King James Bible. And this is This One Thing I Do, part 2. Kind of like Pastor Rob, I don't know how many parts it's going to have till we're done, okay? Which could be, who knows, maybe tonight, you never know. Verse 13, brethren, now we know here brethren, he's talking to all of us children of God, brethren and, as I joke, sisterin, brothers and sisters, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we said this, in one focused act, we must forget past things and reach forth to those things that are before us. This one focused act, it's not just one thing, there's two parts to it. And that is the forgetting of what is behind and the reaching forth unto that which is before us. You know, life is a constant growth journey. Amen. Wigglesworth said, if you're not growing, you're backsliding. You know, he's pretty blunt sometimes. But we should always be an increase, and God is a God of increase, and he wants to bring increase into our life. But there, it takes this, it's not just forgetting what's behind. In fact, you can't put the past to rest fully until you are reaching forward. Reaching forward. And we talked about this focus act involves two things. First of all, forgetting. We said this, a person can't sit around moaning and regretting the past. To do so is to be concentrating on the past. Now this forgetting here, you know, forgetting the past, it's not that you just totally obliterate it from your mind. It's that you deal with it when it shows up. All right? And the reason I say that, because, you know, may not be, you can renew your mind all you want, but you still have an adversary, the devil. And that dude has a DVR, we used to call it, you know, a videotape recorder. But he's got it, he likes to bring things back to our remembrance. Hey, do you remember when? You know, sometimes it's hard to remember that you did that, or said that, or thought that. But he wants to keep accusing you, bringing those things of the past. But, you know, just like that, butterfly has to break out of that cocoon. You got to break out of the cocoon of your past. All of the things that were there that, you know, all those things that, you know, weren't good. All the good things. I mean, all the things that weren't good. Those are the things that you're going to have to let be the past and not return to in your thought life over and over and over again, because they're going to hold you there. They're going to hold you there. And to do so really is to not live in the reality of the new creation in Christ. We're new creatures in Christ. Amen. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. And all things are of God. And those things that aren't of God, just let them go. There's nothing you can do. Have you ever thought, I was ministering one time, and I was ministering, and the Lord said to minister to a certain couple in a certain place there, and I called them up and ministered. And as I just began, as they were walking up, I just heard this, the past is past. The present is today, and tomorrow's in the hands of God. So you can't change the past. You can't change the past. All of us have a past. I mean, we don't want to start giving testimonies of all the things from our past. You know, now we do have some. Thank God for those of you might be in here tonight, that you don't remember a time that you weren't having a relationship with God. You grew up in the church. You at an early age, you know, you might not have had a dramatic conversion experience. And everybody in here that has had a dramatic conversion experience wishes they had your testimony. What trouble it would have saved them. What heartache and pain they would have been loose from. But even if you've known Christ from an early age, even if you've lived with him all your life is not fair. And every one of us have had things said to us, done to us. Maybe we even made wrong choices in that in our past. Amen. But thank God for the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Forgetting those things. So we can't sit around and mourn and regret the past. We read Hebrews 11:15, talking about if Abraham and his company had remembered where they came from, they would have had opportunity to return there. So we can't keep that in our remembrance. We said this, how do we deal with our past? Well, we have to deal with our thought life. Our thought life. I went back and listened to I wanted to hear what I said just to make sure I could kind of connect this, but I think it's worth repeating again that God, in a couple places, and we won't necessarily, they may put them on the board, Isaiah 43:25. I'm not going to turn to them in my Bible, but he said, I am he that blots out, the King James, thy transgressions for my own sake. Now notice this, and will not remember thy sins. Do you see that statement, will not? That means God has to make a choice. God has to make a choice. The other scripture was from the New Testament on that is Hebrews 8:12 said, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. We have to take control of our thoughts. Of course, 2 Corinthians 10 talks about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When that thought comes, you know, and it could be something that's it absolutely is a fact. You said it, you did it, you thought it, but what are you doing with it? Now, I'm assuming that you've already gone to God about it. If you got saved, it was wiped out, and if you did it since you were saved, you've gone to God about it, and he's cleansed you from the unrighteousness of it, the unrighteous act, and he has made a decision that he will not remember it. Well, we need to make that same decision. Now, one of the things, you know, a lot of these thoughts have to do with people, don't they? I mean, I'm sure all of us could tell a story about how somebody done somebody wrong song. Remember that? Somebody's done you wrong. Like Brother John Hagee, Pastor John Hagee said here at a Call to Arms Men Conference during his sermon that night to all of us. He said, I got a word for you, a word from the Lord. You ready for it? Get over it. Amen. Amen. I don't know, you know, I would actually probably buy a ticket to hear to sit down with him and Pastor Hagee and just listen to them tell stories. They got some from their friendship and going to college together. Amen. Hallelujah. But just get over it. That's all right. Everybody's had the same thing. Everybody's had not necessarily the same act, but what are you allowing it to control in your life today? Now, here's the thing. When dealing with people, we've got a supernatural ability. It's called the love of God. The love of God has the supernatural ability, because it's God's ability, that gives us the ability to say, I will not remember that sin any longer. Amen. People are going to sin against you. Sometimes they do it on purpose. Sometimes they don't know what they're doing. But I haven't seen any of us hanging on a cross, shedding blood, giving our life, bearing the sins of many, and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Closest thing in the Bible we have is with Stephen. So we know somebody beside Jesus can do it. They're stoning him, and he asked God not to lay it to their charge. So we have a supernatural ability. We're going to have to learn. We have to walk in love. Love will help us to put the past in the past. So thank God we're not limited to our natural emotions and our natural affections. Amen. And then I'll bring this part up because we're going to talk about, I want to talk about reaching forth in this part. But don't ever let a past event, other than maybe your new birth, you know what I'm saying, those things. And God tells us to remember those things. The victory side of things where God's brought us through, call to remembrance, you know, kind of look what the Lord has done. But don't let those past things, past hurts and things done to you define you. Now, one of the things we're going to see to reach forth, you're going to have to learn to call things to be not as though they were. But one thing is, quit referring to yourself as that hurt person, that wronged person, that abused person. Amen. I'm not trying to make light of what was done to you. That's not my point whatsoever. It's real. I'm not saying it was imaginary. I'm saying, and I understand the pain can be real. But what I am saying is, there's a greater way to live. You can live free from that. You can make a decision, I will not remember that any longer. Now, when it comes up, again, the choice I will means you're going to have to make that choice every time. Every time that memory comes up, I will. I will. And the other thing about it is, God, how many of you found out this about God? He's a healing God. He can heal your body. He can heal your mind. He can heal your emotions. There's healing for our bodies. There's also healing for our souls. Our spirit doesn't need healed. It gets born again. But we have to renew our minds. They're good upstairs. I'm going to see if they can go to. I want you, if you got your Bible, turn to 3 John. This is the third epistle of John, right before the book of Jude. Verse 2, there's only one chapter there, 3 John. You write it 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. But he says something here that I think is deeper than we've ever really allowed it to be, and it's more powerful than we've looked at it, but it's something we can connect with this tonight. Beloved, when you get that word that he just called us, what does that mean? You being loved. You are the beloved of God. I wish above, literally, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health. Now notice this, even as your soul prospers. The soul. Now, he could here be referring to your entire inner being, but we know our spirit has the divine nature of God in it. It's our mind and our emotions that need help. He's talking to the children of God, the beloved, those in Christ. So we're born again. We're new creatures in Christ. Yet we have the moment you got born again, you got the same mind and memories up there and your emotions. You have to renew them. Just as much as you have to renew your thought life, you have to renew your emotional life. And you can't let your emotions rule you any more than you can your thought life if they're contrary to God's word. And that's the key there, is take that thought, take that emotion and say, now wait a minute, what does God's word say about this? Boy, Pastor Craig, he hit it out of the park today. He would have hit that one, would have gone out of the Grand Canyon Park. I mean, he hit it right in the midst of being wronged at the midnight hour. Paul and Silas chose to pray and sing praises to God. They had to make a choice. Amen. And they did it loud enough that all the other prisoners heard them. Right in the midst of their persecution. Right in the midst of them being wronged. All they did is preach the gospel. All they did was obey God. Right in the midst of that, when they could have felt sorry for themselves, they took those thoughts, they took their situation, and they compared it to what God has done, and they just started praising God. They just started praising Him. Hallelujah. Caused a revival. Amen. But he said, not only does he said, forgetting those things that are behind, they're in Philippians 3, verse number 13, says, reaching forth unto things which are before. Reaching forth. We're not going to live free from the past without reaching forth to what lies ahead. Now, in order to go forward, I'm going to have to put my focus forward. The idea here in verse 14 about the prize and the mark of the prize of the high calling is like there's a line drawn and you focus on that line. You've heard Pastor Hagin talk about, you know, running sprints or even running anything in any type of race, that if you start looking behind you, you're going to slow down and you're liable to get passed. But when you're focused on the finish line, you run your race. How many of you have heard the term, stay in your lane? I didn't have this in my notes, but I think it's good anyway. One of the greatest hindrances to reaching forth is comparisonitis. You're running, this is your race here, but you keep looking over here at their race. How many of you know if you keep looking this way, you're going to end up over there? Right? You're going to steer your life over there, and you had no business ever being over there. And a pastor friend, you know, was talking about situations and some things that he's noticed. He said, he would joke, he said, part of the problem is people don't have a life, so they try to live yours for you. Amen. But listen, quit comparing yourself. Paul said, comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise. Wisdom itself ought to tell you, you can't be anybody else than who you are. Amen. Got a great revelation for you. Ready? You are who you are. And you are where you are. And you have what you have. But thank God all those things can change in God. But you can't be somebody else. Amen. We've got to learn to, I don't know, can I say it this way, be comfortable in the skin that God's given us. When I say skin, I mean the life, the sphere in which God has given us to move and live and have our being. We've got to zero in on the things at hand and on the things that lie ahead. When I do that, there's no time to wallow around in the past and the failures. Philippians 3, verse 14 in the Message Bible, I like this. I love this. It says, I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Woo, glory to God. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. The King James says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. So how do I reach forth? This reaching forth too here is not, it's that leaning forward that you do when you're running towards the goal. All right? You know, when you see runners in a race, and you know, the Olympics were just this summer, but you see some of them, when they get tired and they get back like this and they start struggling, it's hard for them. Now, how that guy won that one race, he was running like that the whole time. He just ran past there. I don't know how he did that. That was the most amazing. He came off that turn like somebody was chasing him or something. But most times you're leaning forward, you're reaching out, you're striving to move. It takes effort. This takes effort. It's like rowing upstream. You're going to have to put the paddle in the water, and you're going to have to row with some force. But the great thing about it is once I do my part, God's part's already done. It just kicks in. So, first of all, let's talk about, I can't specifically tell you what your prize is, but all of us need to identify the prize. In other words, what's the finish? What's the finish? Brother Don Burns last Wednesday night, in talking about financial goals, said, decide what it is you want your financial legacy to be. And then what do? You work everything. The process. The goal sets my focus, but then I have to draw it back and I have to look at the process. And I don't necessarily, if I'll become process focused, I'll reach the outcome. Right? And I'm sorry for using sports analogies, but if you work for Pastor Hagin, you have to. But here the NFL, the football playoffs are going on. One team's already won. Well, the team that lost today, if they're outcome basis, that's all they're thinking about is the outcome, then they're failures today. But yet, they hadn't been in this game for years. They got some young players. And so if they'll all, from this point forward, embrace the process, do the work, maybe they'll get there next time. One of the teams playing in the other championship game today, they've been there before. They haven't gotten over that hump. I remember back when Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, how many times they got beat by the Detroit Pistons. But the Pistons had gotten beat by the Celtics, gotten beat. Finally, they beat the Celtics. Then finally, the Bulls finally beat the Pistons. Why? Commit to the process. And it's once you do the process correctly, you'll get to the outcome. So how many realize this is a daily thing we're talking about here? The prize. He calls it the high calling of God. Now, I realize there's a lot of things. You know, how many of you know we're called to inherit eternal life? Spend eternity with God. Yes, there's that. But let's talk about that's here on the earth, this calling. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 with me, please. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. And then we'll go over to chapter 1 in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 in the New Living Translation says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Now he's writing, Ephesians 1 tells us this book's written to the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's talking to you. I got good news for you tonight, or maybe not such good news for you tonight. You have a calling of God on your life. God. And Paul prayed, look over to Ephesians 1, then I'll make that statement concerning what he prayed here. Start in verse 15. And guys, I'll probably just read through verse 18. Verse 15 says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." The hope of his calling. Now notice he said that you might know, not guess at, not live your entire life on this earth and never have a clue, but that you would know. Now evidently this knowledge is helped by prayer. Spending time with God. Now, my wife got me one of those Bibles that has my name in it. And I'll read that, and it'll actually put my name there. In verse 15, it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of Tad's faith in the Lord Jesus and and Tad's love for all the saints," it's got my name in it. But that's a specialty Bible. You have to order that. This Bible, there's no place in here that says, you know, "Brother Jay, go do this," and so, and da, 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 other than just the things that we're all called to. There's no directing. How many of you know you're going to have to spend time with God? You're going to have to insert yourself and pray this for yourself, but we should be praying this for every Christian that we know. I pray this prayer all the time for our students here. I pray it before I preach almost during the day sometime, and during the week, I'm praying this prayer that God would give us a spirit, that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, so that when you come and you sit in this service, you get revelation from Almighty God. Amen? But he says the hope of his calling. Now the word translated hope in the Bible, in the way it's used, especially in the New Testament, doesn't mean I wish for something. It's not like, well, I sure hope so. No, it's not that. This word hope is confident expectation with the accompaniment of joy. In other words, this is the faith is the substance of things confidently expected and that you have joy about. You see, if you're sad, you don't have hope. You're not in Bible hope. Hope is future, yes, but it's confident expectation. But then also notice it says the hope of his calling. It's not, I'm not calling myself. You're not calling yourself. Whoever's praying, Paul wasn't calling them. God had called them. So God, think of it this way. God has a confident expectation upon the calling that he has for your life. Now, again, not everybody's called to preach. Not everybody's called to, we know this, not everybody's called to sing. Right? But we're all called of God. We all have a part to play. The calling to me, it's like, you know, if I called Joseph over here, I'd say, hey, Joseph, come here. I'd give him an invitation. So, you know, you can stay there, Joseph. But the calling of God is a divine invitation from God to participate in what he's doing on the earth today. A divine invitation. But also, an invitation could be a summons. I say, Joseph, get over here. Well, I've summoned him. See, that's a little bit more for, but it can be that also. A confident, and when I said, Joseph, come over here, I confidently expect him to show up. You see? God has a confident expectation. And there's the aspect of joy with it on what he has invited you to do. Now, when God invites, he also equips. Amen? Well, how many of you realize this? Then I have got to set my focus on that calling. And everything I'm doing, my process is to get me to that calling. You know, our Pastor Denise, my son Tanner, Brother Don, all of them so far on Wednesday nights. If you haven't, go in the bookstore and get those. Watch them on Rumble. Go watch them. Because they all talked about the same thing. Getting the process of your daily habits down. Do it daily to get to your goal. Right? Do it daily. The process. Amen? All right. Put the prize first place. Once you've identified it, put the prize first place. Matthew 6:33. You've heard this verse before, I'm positive. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Whose kingdom we put in first? God's. His righteousness. I like the Amplified Bible there. It says, his way of doing and being right. How many of you know we're the righteousness of God in Christ? But how many of you know there is also righteous living and righteous doing? We're to be seeking that. And part of it is, God, I want to do this your way. That's why 1 Peter chapter 4, there in verse 11 says, if any man preach, let him preach as the oracles of God. What does that mean? If you're going to speak, if any man speak, let him speak. If you're going to speak God's words, not your own. Do it God's way. Now, obviously, your personality and your the giftings God's given you are going to come out. You're not going to preach exactly like anybody else, and that's great. I got good news for you tonight. You ready? You ready? We don't need another Tad. You be you. Amen? You be you. Hallelujah. Philippians 3, verse 13 in the New Living Translation says this, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." Focus, focus, focus on the prize. Put the prize first place in your life. Whatever I focus on, I can attain. Whatever you put in your focus, whatever you set your attention on. Remember Proverbs 4, verse 20? My son, attend to my words. What does that mean? Put it first place. Put it first place. How many of you know this is the answer right here? The Word of God. I feel sorry for people that don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. I don't know why do they go to church? I don't know. And you come too late to tell me this isn't God's Word. And you come too late to tell me it doesn't work when we do what he says. You know, I have loved people I didn't want to love. But I did it because I knew God said and I applied it. And I love them. And you know what? I enjoy loving them with the love of God now. You know, I used to joke and say, well, I guess I'm still going to. I'm going to do it now. But I say, you know, some of you ought to be glad I'm not God. But I wouldn't heal you. You old mean thing, you. No, you know what I'm saying? Aren't you glad none of us are God? Hallelujah. The Bible says he loves us perfectly. Woo! Amen. Amen. Go over to Romans chapter 4 with me. Reaching forth. I mentioned it, but here, let's look at this. One of the things we're going to have to do is to call those things which be not as though they were. Let's finish up just a few minutes here. We'll just... I think I got more to say than time I have, so we'll just pick up here next time, all right? I'm sensing there's more to this. And if I'm not helping you, I'm helping me, so I don't, you know. I do care, but I'm just saying. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth means gives life to, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. How does God inject life into any situation with his words? He uses his words. In the beginning, the Bible talks about God created the heavens and the earth, and it says darkness is upon the face of the deep. And God said, what did he say? Let there be light. See why? He wanted there to be light, not continued darkness. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians would have said, boy, it sure is dark out here today. No, he wanted light. So he interjected life into that situation by speaking. He calls things that be not as though they were. Years ago, I heard somebody say this. One of the keys to calling things that be not as though they were is to see them as if they had already come to pass and speak of them in that manner. In other words, speak of future events with as much certainty as historical facts. Now, of course, this is based on God's word. Now, how do we do that? How do we start doing that? Say what God says about it. Find out what God's word says about that situation and your situation and about you and start saying that. Start saying that. Now, I know this gets difficult, especially when you get over into when, you know, like that woman with the issue of blood that she didn't have it anymore. That woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, spent all she had, but was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She was defined by a woman with the issue of blood. But when she came in contact with Jesus, he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. Now go. I love what it says in Luke. I believe it's Luke's. It might be Mark. That's Matthew, or Mark 5. It might be Matthew's or it might be Luke's. I think it's Luke's account where Jesus turns around and says, somebody touched me. See, she's a nobody to her society, to her family. She's unclean. She's nobody. She's not allowed out there. But when she touched Jesus, she turned into a somebody. Woo, if you just get to Jesus, he'll make nobodies into somebodies. Amen? Say what God says about it. I like this, you know, here today during these sporting events. There's a referee there that's going to make the call. Here he says, call things to be. You need to make the call in your life. You're the deciding factor. You make the call. Amen? Amen. Well, let's stop there. And I believe there's more to this. So we'll see, Lord willing. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe you got some help tonight. Amen? Something for all of us in what we said tonight. Because that's how God does things. Not based on what I said, but what he said to you. Amen. Our prayer team is going to go ahead and come on down right now. Hallelujah. As they're coming down, let's have a, I know our, Let's welcome our first-time guests to give them a hand clap. I know our ushers already gave them that special gift. We're so glad you're with us. Everybody stand up if you would. If you need prayer for anything tonight, need to know Jesus, you need to have a no-so experience, you need to rededicate your life, you need anything, men, come down to the men, pray. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God. The ladies, I'm the same way. Ladies, come to the ladies. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God, because that's what brings the results. Amen? Don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Be here 7 o'clock. God bless you. We'll see you. Amen.